Lock to CKUT 90.3 FM.
You're listening to archival content from CKUT 90.3 FM's Time Capsule. Check out ckuttimecapsule.wordpress.com for more.
My rectum's a grave. Who've I buried? Who've I
Transistor Radio, episode 37. This is Morgan C on the radio with Raphael Fregon.
Hello.
This is a month of Pride Month.
No, it's not. Like, officially, it's complicated because sometimes it's in June, but Montreal it's in August. So it's not Pride Month, officially.
Oh.
But we want to talk about Pride because...
Well, it's a hot topic. It was Pride in Toronto.
Pride in San Francisco. Pride everywhere, but in Montreal.
Yeah, centers of the universe. It's a very prideful time.
Yes.
In Saskatchewan, they got Rider Pride. It's... I'm sorry, this, I shouldn't have brought that up. Well, normally I write a big intro and then read it and sound really articulate. But today, we're just going to throw a bunch of shit at the fan and have too many people in the studio for mics. Who do we have in here? Oh my God, we have the Ray Dooley. Ray... Ray has been a contributor for multiple months. This is the first time we've actually been in the studio together live on the air. That's right, right?
No, it isn't. But I didn't really talk a lot the last time.
Oh.
It was fun.
Yeah, you just kind of watched me.
Yeah, I just kind of watched you.
And we talked to each other.
Off the air, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Present.
Raphael Frigon is a local performance conceptual artist.
Called transsexual, yes.
Transsexual.
Certified transsexual. I got a certificate one time and with a bunny on it that says I'm a certified transsexual.
Oh, that's true.
I'm very proud of that.
Well, we created a certificate forgering printer service. So if anybody is interested in getting any sort of documentation, we can say that you're a superstar certified or like mermaid.
You get the bunny seal of approval.
Exactly.
Like on the macaroni boxes.
I want that.
Exactly.
You know, like there's Annie's macaroni, it has a bunny, and the bunny approves the macaroni. The
I know. It's like certified organic.
So everyone can see.
All right. Next, we have Lenore Claire Harum.
Hi.
A.K.A. Sandy Bridges. Occasionally, you're performing under that name.
Sometimes. She's a character that I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's not here right now.
Well, she could be here if you wanted her to be, but I think she's clipping some coupons back home.
Lenore is from my hometown of Saskatoon, and she's been in Montreal for like a bit over a year. And has
couple years, yeah.
Exploded onto the scene of performing. You're doing like everything these days. Lol WM.
Yeah, I'm the referee for a ladies wrestling league.
Yeah,
and I do some solo stuff where I can.
And
also
some cabaret work, and
yeah.
I saw you do stand-up last week.
Oh my
week.
Gosh, I did my first stand-up. It's a terrifying community.
We're definitely the funniest person.
Thank you.
I mean, actually, everybody was terrible except you.
I just read chicken recipes.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think everyone loved it.
Thank you.
From New Orleans.
Howdy.
We have Local Honey.
Hi.
Performer and musician and drag queen and...
Poet.
Poet.
Laureate of Bluebell, Pennsylvania.
Wow. What an honor. I didn't realize.
I made up that too.
No, that seems legit. I can make you a certificate later.
Thank you.
You're in town for... there's a Slut Island.
Yes, yeah, Slut Island Festival. I'm playing a show tomorrow at Casa del Popolo.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Your band, your music name is...
White Girl Wasted.
And that's the music we heard on the way into the show today. So it was pretty awesome.
Thank you.
Kai Chang Tom, welcome back.
Hi.
Longtime contributor to the show. Last time we had you on the show, you were talking super smart stuff about like child psychology and mistreatment of LGBTQ youth.
Mistreatment thing.
In the history of that thing. And
mistreatment should be a drag name.
It probably is.
Probably.
And you're also an awesome spoken word artist and writer.
Yeah.
And you write for ExoJane.
Oh, God. Yes, I also sometimes write for ExoJane.
And you just put out a chapbook.
Yeah. And people should come to the launch of that.
Yeah.
In September.
September. I was lucky enough to snag one of the only copies at. You know, you did a run for
That's right.
Anarchist Book Fair.
So. Yeah, that limited stuff.
Yeah, well, okay. It's been a very long time since we've done a live show with a bunch of people in a studio. I feel like I'm really commanding space here with my talking over.
No, I have this idea to make a show about the idea of pride and fierté because often fierté is organized in the name of trans people, and trans people don't actually get to put it on or not actively part of it. And so I'm part of a movement in Montreal where we want to organize a trans pride and fierté trans event. The name fierté, or you know, pride, you know, it's one of the seven cardinal sins, and it's a problematic word, and I don't know if we should be proud of it, and I feel there's lots of space to have some critical discussion about what is it to be proud, or you know, avoir une fierté, qu'est-ce que ça veut dire? And so I think, I was thinking that we have like so many smart people around the table that we could talk about that and ask them what does it mean for them. Do they have any feelings? Because I think there's feelings in the room.
Never heard of them.
What's a feeling?
Yeah. Well, okay.
You had an idea, Morgan?
Well, I was just going to ask people about their performing styles before we got into that. Is that weird?
Performing styles?
I mean, we have so many performers space.
But like, you know, can still have ideas about like...
No, I know.
About pride.
But I like remember just like 6 minutes ago when I'm like, this is the game plan. We're going to talk about this for the first 20 minutes and then move into the pride.
Oh, I didn't get it.
That's all right.
It's on Twitter.
No, I mean, part of having a live radio show, I thought would be like funny if we were like a real train wreck about it. No.
We're not always a train wreck. It's always a hilarious show.
Okay.
I'm having fun.
Well,
so
good.
Much fun.
What's the password for the Twitter account?
Well,
yes!
How about we regroup and play a commercial? I'll tell you off the air.
Okay.
It's a secret.
I thought that was a joke.
No, I can't.
I really need it.
I don't have the thing up.
This is just like The View.
Fuck it. I got a question. Before we get into pride stuff, I'm sorry. Local.
Yeah.
What? Do you want to talk a bit about your movie you made? I just watched it.
Oh, yeah. I made it 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So it was kind of... It's a docudrama that documents giving life to myself, in a way. Or giving life to Local Honey, formerly using a different name at the time. And... operating as a drag queen, but wanting to give her space outside of the stage and like become a real human.
Oh my god,
that's great! Yeah,
I casted a spell.
What's it called?
By making it Year of Whore. It's on YouTube.
Cool. Year of Whore.
Year of Whore.
Oh, I want to see it.
Yeah, it's really amazing. Like, it's like. Really, a lot of, like, public intervention and a lot of, like, sweet, like, movement things that you wouldn't see in stage and just, like, playing with, like, really beautiful natural environment. I think one of my favorite parts is when you go into, like, a sound studio and you record, like, the sound of you, like, lip syncing. And it's, like, a really, like, 5 minutes of, like, really passionate whispering.
It's really haunting, maybe.
Yeah, it's really, it's really amazing. So, I don't know. And then there's, like, a bit with you and another person, like, with both long blonde hair, like, tied together and wrestling in this tumbly prairie area.
That day was very sweet and, like, sincere and, like, real. It kind of brought the movie to a different place for me. Or, like, there's nothing performed. It was just, like, happening.
Yeah.
Or nothing scripted, rather.
No, it's just, really beautiful mix of music and action. I don't know.
Thank you.
Anyway. What? Yeah. Do you have any feelings about drag stuff? I often really, as a genre, I sort of despise it on the whole, but mostly because
that's
I see people do it in really gross or just really boring ways.
Yeah. I'm actually, at this point, I've done drag since 2011, and I've gotten really bored of it. And I think that's why I started making music, because it's a way to still explore, like, the performance of femininity, but through a different avenue, and, like, using lyrics to give more context to my thoughts. and be, like, transgressive in a maybe more punk way or something.
It's fair. Does anyone else have any things to say about stuff?
Well, on the note of drag,
yeah.
Being from Saskatoon, as, like, you know, I've always been a girl. And in high school, drag was okay. It wasn't okay to be a trans woman. So, but I hated the drag scene. I hated the drag culture. I hated the gay bar where the drag queens performed. Sorry if anyone from Saskatoon at the gay bars are hearing this.
Fuck you, divas.
Fuck you, too. Anyway, but you know, I was like, I need an excuse to do this. So I guess I'm doing like drag at the bake sale, and you know. And, like, drag for a party. And then it would crush me when someone said, well, you're not doing drag if you're not performing. And I'd say, you know, what? Go home and crying with an existential crisis. And, you know, it wasn't until, you know, you kind of see other people living their lives in exciting ways that, oh, you can do this.
It's the trans gateway drug.
Right?
Or it's true.
Mm-hmm. It could be. It
doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be.
But it's nice sometimes when it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this makes
me ease yourself in.
And you know, I've always been a performer also, so it worked, I guess.
Mm.
I feel like if there were drag queens I don't like who came out as trans, I would like them. I would just forgive all of their sins.
Absolved.
I'm just saying. Hint, hint, if anybody is listening.
Do we accept calls?
I guess so.
That's a great idea.
Call out.
Yeah. Well, come closer to the mic, right? We only have 5 mics and 6 people, so that's exciting. Isn't that exciting? I don't know. Well, does anyone else have anything that's coming up? Lenore, you got things going on.
Yeah, actually, thanks to Kai Cheng.
Yes!
she kind of inspired me to, I mean, I've been sewing for a while, like costumes and things for myself, and like fixing things, and she came over with her business mindset. She's like, just make a Facebook thing.
I was like, girl, make money, make more money.
I'm like, okay, I don't know how. And so I started a Facebook page, Couturière Lenore.
Check
Search
it out.
It. I will hem all of your things or make you wild costumes.
I will provide breathless testimony. Lenore is an amazing dressmaker, fixer person.
Thank you.
That's great. Hey, what? Would you like 5 boxes of fabric I have at my house?
Sure.
All right.
Yes.
I've been thinking, I'll make stuff.
As long as I can, like, make you 100 dresses out of them.
Yeah. Well, I was hoping there'd be a trade-off.
Okay, sweet. Very good.
Okay. That's great. Well, I guess we're sort of getting close to the 20-minute mark. Maybe I'll play that ad, and we'll come back and pride it up.
For shame. Pride for shame.
All right.
Écarlate les vibrations de la communauté. Écarlate FM 90.3.
When is Pride happening?
When is Pride happening?
Yeah, Raphael.
Montreal Pride?
No, but. Well, yeah, okay, go on.
Well, the trans pride, our pride.
Yeah, the real pride.
the real pride. So it's happening August 7th. We have a show, a spectacle. I don't know. And the details are yet to be confirmed. And so that's going to be on Friday, August 7th. And then August 8th is... You're looking at me with interrogation in your eye. What is going on?
Well, do you know that there's also like an Aztec fundraiser. That
yes, that's
night?
What I'm bringing. Bogus oh! 8 is the Aztec fundraiser.
Good, because that would have been terrible.
Yes.
Different events.
No, all Morgan, right. Please.
No, I'm sorry.
You're what? Pissing me off. This is supposed to be my show about my pride, okay? Okay, so I guess 7, we have the show. And then on the 8th, we have the Aztec fundraiser at Café Cléopâtre. And on the Sunday, we have the Trans March, which will be a fantastic political success, followed by a picnic in the park where we can all congregate and have sandwiches and chit-chats. And, you know, yeah, socialize. It's good. It's going to be great. Festive. It's going to be a community-based pride. It will be non-commercial. So we need money, though. So yeah. If you listen to this and have lots of money, you can go on Facebook. Trans Pride, Fierté Trans. Et puis sinon, vous pouvez aller sur le site web qui va être fiertetrans.com. Yes.
I've already found sponsorship, and I'd just like to say that nothing says Trans Pride like Blood Light Lime. Yum.
No.
Sugarbuck.
That's not happening.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Oh, and then during the week of Pride Montreal Pride, Fierté Montreal Pride, that's what it's called, there'll be one event that will be organized at Hotel Gouverneur, which is going to be a round table with, among people, Kai that's here with us today.
Yay.
There's also going to be Oli Pollen and Annie Pollen. And there's going to be, Oli is like 8-year-old or 9-year-old, and it's going to be amazing to have, like, you know, someone really young and their perspective about
really young and really smart.
Yes. And then who else is going to be there? Is there's going to be Raoul Nadeau. Yeah. And Sophie Charon is going to be leading the round table. It's going to be amazing.
Great.
Yes.
Well, thinking about what could be considered pride, I wrote various basic questions for you. Mm-hmm. Like, number one, fuck pride, am I right? No. What is your impression of contemporary pride culture, parades, events, etc., corporate tie-ins? Are there things you actually like about, like, the, like, larger pride festivities? Like, is there, or is it mostly just things we should be ashamed of? Roundtable, commence.
Wait, what is this pride?
Like, I mean, you know,
I'm joking.
The thing with the village.
The village.
As an area that gets...
The village. The village is such a great place for trans women.
It is. Everyone loves us. Pride is, well, I think you said it, Morgan. Super corporate. There are a lot of festivals. There's a lot of gay men. There's a lot of white gay guys. I don't know. Is there something... What do I like about Pride? Do you guys like Pride?
I like the counteractivity that happened.
Yeah.
Such as perversity.
Yeah.
Which I've been to a few times.
Like, even before transitioning was an option in my mind, I was like, I always felt like Pride was this sort of, like, gay Christmas that they're shoving in your face.
Like,
you have to like it. And it's like, this is suffocating. But, like, 2 times in Saskatoon, I ran away from the parade because it stressed me out.
I thought that the parade in places like Saskatoon, like smaller cities, might be better, but maybe I was wrong about that.
The mayor
that.
Refuses to attend the parade.
Drama!
That probably makes it better.
Yeah.
I think the mayor of Toronto also refuses to go to Pride now, right?
I don't know.
Rob Ford. Anyway.
Oh, right, him.
Yeah, him. Oh, I like the food at Pride sometimes. And I like getting paid to perform at Pride sometimes because there's a lot of money, but then they don't give us a lot of it, and then they're late sending us checks, and then they send your check to the wrong drag queen. Anyway.
I was just at Pride in San Francisco, and it seemed like the parade was more for straight people than for queers.
That's exactly it. And they're like, oh my gosh, like, you're queer? Like, we're celebrating you. And I'm like, don't.
Please,
yeah, it's like a celebration of liberal guilt.
Yeah, exactly.
I beg you not to help me. but I need to throw out a thing if we're hating Pride, because let's hate Pride. But, I feel like a couple years ago, I saw a really good friend of mine who's also, like me, a person of color, post something about like how it is like a big privilege sometimes to be able to hate Pride. And I kind of get that in the sense that like, I think lots of us remember being like an isolated child and then hearing about this like coming of the Messiah, get it? Coming of the Messiah. Anyway, which was like hundreds of, I guess, like shirtless gay guys on floats. And we thought that this was going to be like liberation or connection or communion or whatever. And it was going to save us. And then if only we could get downtown to the big city and participate in Pride, then life would be good. I remember that. I remember that Pride was like my spark of hope when I was like a lonely kid with immigrant parents in Vancouver and being like, one day I'll go to Pride. So that was a time when I liked Pride. I think that still is the case for some people, and I don't want to shit on that. Yeah, can I say that word on the radio?
I'm from like small town New Jersey, and I think the only Pride that I've ever really loved and like felt totally happy at was it's in New Jersey. It's a very like not corporate Pride, and it's just like a barbecue on the beach in Asbury Park, and it's just, you know, like a lot of straight people don't really go because it's New Jersey and they're just like, oh, like whatever, like where do you even find gay people in New Jersey? And we're like in Asbury Park on this beach on this one day, and it, so that was kind of nice, like being a younger person and and finding that. And it again, not corporate. I think when you start to go and you see TD Bank everywhere, that's
TD
and the Trojan horses and the police. There's no police, like,
to arrest people?
No. I mean, and yeah, I mean, like that's the big thing that's about going to New York Pride is the NYPD is aggressive. The NYPD marches in the parade in there.
Arresting people?
They're not arresting. I mean, they are, you know, when they see like Pink Block or something like that, when they see anti-Israeli apartheid groups, then they pull them out of the parade. But
when they see mean gay people.
I saw like a very popular Vine recently of like a gay boy like bounce dancing with a cop, and everyone's like, "Yay, cops!" This is the same cops who have like done some seriously terrible shit in the last 6 months.
Well, that's
all of forever. I mean, yeah.
Was the cop wearing pink camel pants?
No, just a regular cop uniform. So
That's the thing. Cops in Montreal are so gay. Their pants, and they're always in the village, crawling over everywhere.
I heard rumors about like Poste de Quartier numéro 36 being the gay police station, which is the one for House Morgan.
Yeah, we had a conversation with somebody who was doing something there once.
So apparently it's
I don't know if we're allowed to talk about that.
It's okay, no, we can consider gay, it's fine. I don't think there's any shame in police being gay.
No, whatever, yeah. Well, that lady was doing like a ride-along because she was writing for a cop
show. I wouldn't mention that.
That's the part I wouldn't mention, and now you're telling me to do it, and then I did it.
You can mention that, you know, cops in our little telly apparently of the gay
police
cop
come and drag us all out of here?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to be dragged by gay cops at least, you know?
Ooh, drag me a little harder.
Sorry.
Never apologize.
Questions.
Well, yeah, that's perfectly on time. What are we actually proud of or thankful for within I don't know,
what should pride actually be?
I mean,
those are two different questions.
Well, on the kind of like what Kai Cheng was talking about with having it's a privilege to hate pride, it's like I'm gonna drop the Caitlyn Jenner name. Oh my god, I'm so sorry. People are like,
who?
it's annoying because people are like, oh my gosh, you must be so inspired by her. She must be your hero.
Did someone say that to you?
Oh yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah, the same person that when I said I'm transitioning, they were like, well, can't you kind of just do it like quietly in your own space? And I'm like, no, I have to get a job. Like, I'm a performer.
I have a life.
Yeah. Okay.
Who said that to you?
I'm not gonna name names.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. That's fair. Yeah. But I almost did. But yeah, but at the same time, you know, these are big staple things that are, you know, progressing our community in that way. And yes, it's annoying that everyone thinks that she's my hero and I probably have posters of her all over my bedroom. I don't, obviously.
Really?
I did look at the Vanity Fair and she's pretty in those. Those are some nice pictures.
She's some nice dresses.
Yeah, yeah.
Any of the boots is a good photographer.
Cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's true.
But it's a privilege to be able to say that's annoying because that kind of stuff is history in the making. And she's also our trans sister, so we can't hate her.
Yeah. We definitely can. I don't feel like we don't need to hate Caitlyn. No, we can hate her because she's super rich.
Right. But, and a Republican.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. I was at a store
the other day picking up a delivery. And, you know, being trans, I was, like, wearing my trans outfit.
Yeah.
And the person who was doing my who I went to was like, oh, can I see some ID for this delivery? And I was like, okay. So I showed my ID and the person's like, is that you? And I was like, yes. I'm trans, like Caitlyn Jenner. And she was like, oh, yeah. Okay, then.
Oh,
and
wow.
I got my package.
Nice.
So
that's all you need
Caitlyn
to say. Street.
Yeah, no, it's okay. A good... I'm trans, like Caitlyn Jenner.
Girls like Caitlyn.
Hashtag girls like Caitlyn.
I'm just going to throw in question three right now because...
Wait. What?
I don't know. You don't go around the whole table?
No, because we'll come back. Don't worry. We're just going to merge them because I'm going to say, how has the recent surge of trans visibility in the mainstream affected you all? Has this affected at all how you're treated or whatever? Anecdotes. Exactly the Caitlyn Jenner ID story is. Anyway, merge the two. Continue to talk naturally. I just derailed it by throwing that in there. I'm sorry, Raph. What do you want to say? What?
Is visibility enough? I feel like it's not. A lot of people feel like it's a progressive move or like an end point to what we need. But it makes us complacent about other things or like more pressing issues, like even basic needs that people still don't have. There's not much visibility for like challenging the binary and like gender non-conforming people or like gender queerness.
Yeah, I think there's this idea that like trans people were invisible, and now that we are visible, things are like nice things are going to happen to us, or people will start being nice to us. But the truth is that, like 80 million, okay, maybe not that many, I don't know. A whole bunch of trans people have written their like autobiography and like been in the media, and it's become a big media item and then vanished. You know. People have known about trans people for a really long time, just like people know about, like, lots of marginalized groups existing for a long time. That doesn't mean that they're going to go out of their way to change legislation that harms us or to stop people from hurting us in public. It also just, like doesn't necessarily do anything. Like, I would way rather, for example, everyone was guaranteed a basic income, including trans people, so that this whole job market thing and job discrimination thing didn't have to affect us, then, like, some cis person in, like, I don't know, buttfuck nowhere, like, knows that we exist. Like, that isn't going to help, you know? I think I'd way rather that the people who are actually going to change and affect things knew about us and what we needed and cared about us than like the entire world in general just being like, oh, isn't that cool? People can change their genitalia.
Yeah, and like kind of on that note of now people are okay more like now you can go to the grocery store and because of Caitlyn Jenner, people will say, oh, it's a trans person, right, Caitlyn Jenner. But they still expect you to try your best to pass one way or the other. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel better going to my grocery store looking like I'm trying to pass, even though I really don't care. Like, but I feel like, you know, maybe it's the same for, like, cis women. They're expected to look their best all times in the public eye. Otherwise, like, don't wear your sweats to the grocery store. Like,
yeah. Yeah, and maybe it's visibility towards your transness, but not your womanhood.
Right.
Mm-hmm. People are still not being recognized as the gender they want to be.
Mm. Other folks?
Raph, can I... I'm sorry for cutting you off earlier. Okay, you don't have anything to say.
Go on.
All right.
I'm just going to be here doing the Twitter. It's fine.
What?
I'm having lots of fun on Twitter.
Ray, do you have anything that you're proud of, thankful for, or has visibility?
I don't know. I think my experience is probably a little bit different being a trans man. But people still, you know, think that in Caitlyn Jenner and people like that being visible, that they understand trans people. I definitely had some people like come out of the woodwork and send me messages about how inspirational I am to them, like after that Caitlyn Jenner thing came out, and just like how strong I am and how courageous I am, which, you know, it's totally nice to know that I'm somehow inspirational to all of these cis people. But I mean, it's also, I think what I struggle with and what kind of makes me nervous, I'm also a passing trans person, is just like the kind of white hot spotlight feeling that kind of comes with visibility. And like you go, I mean, you know, I'm from the States, so you looking now and the presidential elections are coming up, so all of the Republican jerks are feeling the need to weigh in on like trans people. And I mean, it's not on me because I'm a trans man, right? Like a lot of the time they're talking about trans women and they're talking about just like all this trans misogynistic crap. But yeah, I think that visibility is definitely different. I mean, it's always been easier or different for trans men. But I think with visibility, I get nervous that it's going to mean more violence. That's like all I kind of worry about.
Mm-hmm. The backlash.
The backlash, absolutely.
Yeah.
And there was some sort of, and being trans, there is some sort of safety in invisibility sometimes. Like, I'm in school right now, and like I can take off my shirt in class, and all the cis people, they don't even know that like my chest surgery scars mean I'm trans. They're just like, oh, you just have scars on your chest. Oh, okay. Like, and then they don't even really think about it. And it's just like this privilege I have from the fact that like our bodies, like, you know, the invisibility of our bodies not being coded in certain ways, and like like that being like universal public knowledge, and being able to kind of hide in that ignorance. And
why do you take your shirt off in class?
What class is this, right?
That's all I can think about.
Good question.
Sign me up.
I'm in physiotherapy, so sometimes we have okay. to.
And now we all are too.
Yeah. But yeah, so certain things like that, it's like, oh, okay, you know, and I can kind of just be like, I'm just a little man, like, whatever. But yeah, I worry about the backlash, I think, is the only thing I worry about. But I'm proud of finding more trans people and more people finding out that they're trans from this stuff, right? Like, I don't know what everybody probably had their kind of, like, example of a person or, a media object. Like, for me, like, I don't know, like, even, like, Rocky Horror Picture Show, I was like, oh! Like, this person is gender nonconforming, and that's important to me, you know? And I don't know what that means for young people now.
Maybe that character on Glee. I don't know. You mean, you're talking about, like, media folks?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, or Janet Mock or Laverne Cox or any of the amazing people out there doing, like, intense, amazing work. I mean, I'm proud of trans folks in general. Yeah. That's something I'm proud of. Mm. Some folks I'm proud of.
Absolutely.
We go through a lot of things, and we have gone through a lot of stuff. And I'm really proud of trans folks, not just in the sense of, like, oh, like, an imagined community, but also, like, real folks I meet, you know? Like, I meet a lot of trans kids, or, like, gender nonconforming, gender creative kids at work, because I do some work in, like, hospitals and as a therapist, and I'm super proud of all of those kids. Because they're all really unique and all really amazing and all really magical. Also, somehow they all have really amazing style. and I'm really proud of their parents, too. And not all of whom fit, like, the amazing, like, cookie-cutter, like, great parent of a trans child model, which we're starting to see in the media a little bit. Usually they're, like, white middle-class parents who are like, well, my child always acted like a boy even though he was born a girl, and then we gave him all the hormone stuff he needed. Like, they're also parents who are migrants who don't speak English or French and, like, don't have access to the language that we use to talk about trans stuff, and still are just, like, going at it, loving their kids and supporting their kids in whatever way ways they know how. So I'm really proud of that. I'm also really proud of, like, all of the artists and activists and folks like you guys.
Oh.
Like in radio.
This is exciting.
How did you feel all recently about Genesit Gutierrez interrupting the president's speech.
Yes!
To talk about mistreatment of LGBT immigrants who are being detained and treated really badly. Anyway, I'm really proud of her.
Yeah definitely.
Necessary disruption to the normal bullshit that presidents say and do.
Yeah. I was not proud of President Obama, unfortunately. It was like one of those, it was yet another thing where I was just like, oh no, I really, 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 really want to like President Obama. But it gets harder and harder.
It's a funny thing because I'm like, one, this is like one of those, probably like the most charismatic president we've ever seen, who's like really social media savvy and is appearing in a bunch of weird contexts that make us like kind of smile and be like, what? But at the same time, he's like also probably a war criminal and just doing all the same terrible shit that George Bush was doing. With just more of like a liberal like smile on it.
So they're just like, yeah.
So we see all these like progressive moves, but at the same time, like, you know, the same war machine underneath it all. Mm-hmm. It's like,
yeah, and that stuff is like fabricated as a distraction as well. Mm-hmm. And it has to do with our generational like shifts.
So. Yeah. I think there's this interesting dynamic too, like being that we can look at between the current president of the United States and Jenifer Gutierrez, in which like, these are two racialized folks, a black man, a black cis man, and a Latina trans woman, talking to each other from across the room, like the White House, right? From like totally opposite sides of that room and opposite sides of American, North American society. And like, there's a really interesting dialogue going on there where President Obama is like, not in my house, don't eat my cheese, and like, don't drink my wine if you're going to like yell at me and be rude. Which for me like has a lot of resonance because it is like a racialized person who also who has parents and ancestors who are not from this place, and so will always be considered a foreigner in some ways. Like people are doing all that checking into whether or not Barack Obama was actually born in the United States and whether or not he was a Muslim, like all this ridiculous racist stuff. But he's made it in a lot of ways. You know, he's standing at the podium in the White House and he's telling another racialized person, like, you're not the right kind of racialized person to be a racialized person and stand in the White House and drink the wine. You have to behave yourself in a certain way. You have to be a certain kind of person. And that to me is really, really sad because it speaks to the dynamics between racialized people where we compete with each other to assimilate better. And I think that can be also sort of translated to a trans community perspective as well, where we've been talking about passing and, you know, you can enter certain spaces and behave in certain ways and, you know, that's aided by money a lot of the time and be accepted and celebrated, whereas people who misbehave or do not have the money or like, don't come from the same position are shut out. And this is what happens with pride too, right? Like we pay to be able to display ourselves in the streets and not get hurt and like get protected and not harassed by the cops. And I don't know. So it's a very poetic kind of bittersweet moment for me to watch on YouTube with Obama yelling at Jenifer Gutierrez and vice versa.
And you also just looking at, I don't know, you have this person who isn't just standing up for trans people and isn't just standing up for queer people, like standing up for everybody who's in these like illegal, terrible like detention facilities and conditions. And like, I don't know, as I keep looking around and it's always fucking amazing trans women of color who are like willing to stand up and like,
we have nothing left to lose.
Yeah. And like call attention to these things. And you know, Barack Obama especially, he's gonna be the first person to like, you know, hold up a trans, like he's gonna drink like trans women's wine and eat trans women's cheese of their like freaking movement, and then like, you know, kick them out of his house. Like,
can we start a band called Trans Women's Cheese? But totally.
That's a really good point.
That's a great perspective.
Well, we have one last question, which is number four, a general airing of grievances.
Public pools.
Which, talk about it.
I mean, What do you have anything to say, Ross?
Well, I'm pretty pissed at you, Morgan.
I know. You've been looking at me.
You're hearing our grievances, and you like you won't let me talk, and it's pretty pissing.
I've been trying to let you talk, but you're too mad at me to talk.
Yeah, I'm pretty mad at you.
I know.
Yeah. It's pretty upsetting. Like, I don't know. I used to be very proud of being trans, but now that you're here with me, I'm not sure. I used to be pretty proud of friends because we're still alive, despite being like, you know, like, I don't know. I played the AFKD myself many times, and I'm still here, and I'm pretty proud of that. I'm pretty proud of, like, the many trans activists that are working and doing lots of work with me and trying to make this trans part happen. It's really amazing. And I wanted to have them in studio today, but that couldn't happen. And I'm very sad. And yeah, I'm so glad. There's like, they're mostly, I don't know, I'm not that old, but they're younger than me, and this is amazing, and they're doing amazing work, and everyone is very motivated in making this thing happen. It makes me so hopeful for the future. I feel like things are possible, and like, I'm not afraid of backlash. Backlash, bring them on. I'm not afraid of them. I'm really happy and hopeful. Yeah. And yeah, I'm sorry, I'm gonna cry now. But yeah, I have lots of feelings, as I said.
We love your feelings.
Yeah, yes. Thank you.
Yeah, please share.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Raph, for cutting you off earlier. And I love you. Is there any other airing of grievances you'd like to say? Specifically towards the universe?
Well, I would like you to fix your bag so you can come to the station so I wouldn't have to use my other bag. You know, because like if you could just put some oil in your wheels, it'd be much better.
No, I know. I'm gonna go pick up brake lines and some new grip tape. Yes. I wanna make a pink handlebars. That'd be nice.
Yes.
All right. Well, I thought I'd have more of a grudge to pick today, but I feel really chill. So. Cis people, right? The worst.
So if people don't have grievances, they can, you know, as Raph just did, share some hopeful, positive things. Or like, you know, if it would be hopeful and positive to like imagine people you have grievances against meeting their like due justice, like that could also be a positive twist on that.
Are you thinking of something in particular, right? Because that sounds amazing.
I'll get back to you. No, I'm just thinking about like, you know, people, you're like, ah, cis people. And I was just like, ah, like, but like, how do you even talk to them though? No, I just had this experience yesterday of somebody who didn't know I was trans. And then like found out, I guess, after friending me on Facebook and probably examining past pictures, that I was trans, like, and I'd known them for weeks. And then they finally asked me my pronouns. And it was like this very much like, well, I thought you were cis and now I know you're trans. So like, I'm going to be really considerate and I'm going to ask you what your pronouns were. And I was just like, you've known me for weeks and everybody's always been using like the same pronouns around me. And like one of those people is my partner. So like, now you're trying to be all considerate. And I was just like, oh, I can't even yell at you. So I'm going to yell on the radio about it.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's a familiar grievance. I can't yell at you, but...
I'm not claiming that it's really, really difficult. I'm just claiming that it's one of those things that...
Like, I'm really pissed off because I've been, like, you know, out as trans for, like, you know, 6 years, and I still don't pass. I get called sir and he all the time, and it's a lot for shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, you get, like, fucking it as soon as you get back. Writes you a letter that says, oh, congrats on legal name of gender and name. And you know what? They call you sir and they use your old name. How fucked up is that? I'm really pissed at this.
Yeah, Raph's been dealing with a lot of bureaucracy lately, and they're all formalized and jerky about it.
No, you don't need to contextualize my shit, Morgan.
Well, I'm...
No, it's fucking upsetting, and everyone should know about this stuff. Like... You know?
Yeah.
It's so much bullshit. You go through 2 years of, like, you know, paperwork and medical assessments and having people tell you what you are and what you're not. And then you have to prove everything. You have to send documents. You have to talk to fucking bureaucrats and get misgendered on every fucking step. And then you finally get that fucking document and it's addressed to your old name and they call you sir. And then, you know what? These people, at least at Civil Quebec, they go, and the director of Civil Quebec goes on like a commission parlementaire sur le projet règlement de la loi 35 and says that, you know, il accompagne les personnes trans respectueusement dans une démarche difficile. Mais c'est mon cul une démarche difficile, en fait. C'est une atteinte aux droits de l'homme, enfin aux droits de la femme aussi, aux droits de tout le monde. Mais oh, c'est d'une violence institutionnelle qui ne cesse pas. I'm sorry, but I'm still alive after this, and I think it's a lot, and I think, I don't know, when does it end? When do I get to this place where I feel better? Yeah, I don't know, but I still, you know, I want to believe, things will get better, but it's so much freaking bullshit.
Yeah.
You can't put music, man.
I guess I feel like, I mean, I hung out with Kai Cheng like a month ago.
Yeah.
And you were wearing a really pretty dress and I was wearing like jeans and a t-shirt.
Uh-huh.
And we had a bit of a conversation about that, and I've realized that I was sort of like, I've been downplaying my expression a lot for the last like year.
Yeah.
And like really trying to not be visible in public. And and then I just was like, am I doing that because why am I exactly doing that? Because I am sort of like afraid to go downtown and do like be visible, and I end up having to go downtown a lot lately. And now it's just like too fucking hot, and I don't have shorts to wear, and I'm just like pushing myself to wear skirts, and I don't want to shave my legs, and I've been walking around with really hairy legs and cute skirts.
Mm.
And I keep expecting people to fucking start yelling at me everywhere, and it hasn't been happening. And that's like, it's only been a couple weeks that I've been really pushing myself to do this.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, like, I feel like, wow, this is something that I'm trying to do.
I think it's really brave. Everyone in the room is really brave, but yeah, it's hard.
I find it very difficult to articulate a lot of things about going out and expression and stuff. I am much better at indirectly articulating just by existing and being there and being visible.
Mm-hmm.
But one person who has a really great blog, her name is Laura Shepherd from Halifax, and I think it's the Halifax Co-op, if you Google that. It's an amazing blog, and she's an amazing articulator, so I'm going to plug that.
That's great.
Amazing.
I'll put it on the list of things to add to the archive.
Is she trans?
Yes.
And she lives in Halifax?
Yes.
Because I'm going there really
You should
soon.
Look her up and meet her.
I want to.
And I'll be very jealous.
I'll take some selfies,
please.
Of us.
Yeah.
And I'll talk about you. I'll talk about your dressmaking business.
Please.
Cool.
And your ice cream cone.
Oh, I want to, as long as we're shouting out amazing people, everyone in the room, of course, and also this amazing Filipina trans activist who I have never met but just discovered on the internet while I was writing an article, Sauce Wargondo Sesot, who wrote an amazing speech for the University of, I think, of Manila. About how she's not born in the wrong body. I really recommend that people go read this speech. If you Google Rogando Sesot speech, or you can look for it on Janet Mock's blog, because Janet Mock has reposted it also. It's an amazing piece of orature.
It's like being born in the wrong world or something.
Yeah, there's this amazing quote. I'm not trapped by my body. I'm trapped by my beliefs.
Mm.
Yeah,
that's
a really
so
good
great.
Speech. Yeah.
For me, I found like I can exist to my fullest extent within my art practice, but on the street or like read by strangers, tend to be like more clocked as a fag, which I still identify with in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
I feel very fluid. But yeah, art has been a really important space, and writing about myself or writing to myself, writing love letters to myself, has been a great way to like affirm those things, my transness, my femininity. Mm.
That's great.
Yeah. And yeah, I guess a lot of it comes from like, I know I believe in multiple lives and that this vessel is temporary and like maybe it's not even that important like how it appears in this lifetime because I know what happens in my mind and that gets carried along in different bodies to get all woo.
Who can use a little more woo?
Ray, do you have any closing thoughts in theory? It's 2:56 here on the thing. We could talk for a couple more minutes and then play a song on the way out.
I think I'm good. I think, I think that we're in such a period of growth and that pride is kind of this moment where we all come together to try and like take stock of things and celebrate each other. Cause I really agree with Kai Cheng said that like, I'm proud of trans people. And I'm not proud of the world we live in at all. I'm very ashamed of the world we live in, but that's all I have to say about pride, I guess. And I want to apologize if anything I said was triggering or shitty to people.
I'm proud of myself for buying panties and bras at a downtown Montreal store yesterday.
Yes.
I found it.
For the first time.
Awesome.
It was terrifying, but I did it. And I'm wearing them right now.
They look great.
Thanks. And your hair, too.
Thanks.
Your hair is amazing. Who's your hair inspiration, Lenore?
The poop emoji.
The poop emoji.
Yeah.
From Facebook?
Yeah, you know, or iPhones, whatever. They're all there.
Yeah.
It's also kind of like the ice cream emoji.
So for listeners at home, Lenore has all her hair kind of up in this bun that swirls around on her head.
Like super tight.
Directly on the top of her head.
And is it just like the shape of the poop emoji?
I think my style is kind of like edgy Who.
like Dr. Seuss?
Yeah. You know, it's cool.
Cool.
Can I talk for a sec?
Yes, definitely. Okay.
So it's been like, you know, 18 months or 1 year and a half that the Quebec government has passed a law that's just called La Loi 35, which is supposed to have trans people change their name or mention of gender without any surgery and supposed to make the process so much easier. But yet, you know, nothing has happened. Nothing has changed. It's still the same old bullshit that's imposed onto us. And yeah, so I think we're gonna have this trans pride, and on this march, we're gonna make a special effort to remind to our friend, Ministre de la Justice et de la Condition Féminine, Madame Stéphanie Vallée, that her inaction in putting this law project in place is effectively killing people, and it's hurting trans people every day. And every day, she's personally doing violence to trans people. And so, yeah, we're going to use the trans march and the trans pride to, bring that up. That's the main special focus this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's going to be on the Sunday, June 9th?
August.
August, yes.
All right. Well, this is pretty much the end of the show. If you want to check out our blog at transistor.tumblr.com, you can listen to all our shows. I don't know. Stay political and stay awesome.
Peace out, Girl Scout.
We'll
peace
see out. Y'all. Thank you all for coming into the station today, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank Woo. You.
We're going to play more White Girl Wasted on the way out. Yes. Illegible Slurs is the name of the song.
Forgive you for all that you've done. Il est 6 heures. Vous êtes à l'antenne de CKUT 90.3 FM Montréal pour l'émission Québec Acadie en musique avec votre animateur, Donald Cormier.